This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the host and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. Well, the show started a little late this morning, so we're going to get it rolling. I wanted to play that song all the way to the chorus for you. But when I looked at the clock, I realized we didn't have enough time. So good morning to my people in Grand Bahama. I don't know what y'all did to these people, but it seems like Grand Bahama's a gangster's paradise. Ain't nobody want to go and wake with y'all. Nobody want to invest with y'all. The Prime Minister say, man, boy, things. And he's like, nobody. What's going on, Grand Bahama? Tell me. What's going on? Are you really a gangster's paradise? Are people afraid of the deep history behind the development of Grand Bahama? And that it may, you know, it may not be history. I don't know. I just, with all of this talk, that song is what came to mind this morning, and I had to play it because I am reading this statement by the Prime Minister, Philip Davis. Quote, I think Grand Bahama is ideally suited for a mixed economy in the context of tourism, agriculture, and industrial. I think they can coexist together. We just need someone with the vision, the wherewithal, and the leadership to make it happen. But Mr. Davis, is that not you? Is that not why you were elected? Did you not come to all of us and tell us that indeed you were the person? You are the someone, the wherewithal, and the leadership to make it happen. It's gotta be you. There are more statements from the Prime Minister. Statement that was all over the papers yesterday. I couldn't even believe it. I had to wait. I had to give it 24 hours to settle in. I said, people, the Middle Eastern community, Dubai, the Arab Emirates, the people all around the world are prepared to invest heavily in the Bahamas. Just not Grand Bahama. Just not Grand Bahama. So what's going on in Grand Bahama that the richest people in the world tell you they want to come to your country and do whatever they could do, but they don't want to do it there? See, this is something that we're going to have to take out of the sphere of politics and governance and take into the public for a discussion. What's happening in Grand Bahama? And is it to the benefit of the residents of Grand Bahama, the descendants of the people who would have settled Grand Bahama? This is this is an important discussion. I'm just concerned about the way that we are approaching it. You see, somebody shared that quote that I read. I think Grand Bahama is ideally suited for a mixed economy in the context of tourism, agriculture, and industrial. I think they can coexist together. We just need someone with the vision, the wherewithal, and the leadership to make it happen. Philip Davis, Prime Minister. See that quote right there. Somebody shared that. We were having a conversation about it. And I can be honest with y'all right now. You know, they said they're not quite sure what the statement is saying. It must have been taken out of context. Good morning, Facebook friend. I don't want to call your name. You know, you deserve some privacy. And I was like, well, to me it seems as if they've already found that someone, and they're just trying to create the environment in which it's possible to introduce that someone to the general public. But my friend said, nah, he thinks that they're talking about an investor. That this is a call to the investor. You know how you do like a duck call? A goose call, a chicken call, that's a call. We're going to see. We're going to see. Dear Prime Minister, this is something that the Ministry of Grand Bahama can take on right away. You need to pull in your academics, your historians, your social scientists, your economists, your policymakers, your local government participants. You got to get all boots on the ground to start formulating discussions with the residents of Grand Bahama about what is possible, what they want to do with what is possible, and what is required to bring these dreams, visions, and policies to realization. You see, I see the Prime Minister went into Grand Bahama this week. And one of the stories that they focused on was a focus on unhoused and homeless populations of people in Grand Bahama. But I found the story sort of interesting because I'm still not sure whether the focus is on homeless people and unhoused populations or if the focus, right, is on removing derelict and abandoned buildings in Grand Bahama and land and property issues. So it's important to know what the focus is, right? It's important to know what the premise of the initiative is. So you could get a sense of what to expect. You know what the government is prioritizing and where resources will be diverted. It's also important for civil society to know so that they can begin preparing to fill the gaps, to support the work that the government is doing by providing, we call auxiliary or ancillary, just fancy words, by providing support and service for things that the government can't do, even though it's in the plan. And one of the reasons why I'm not certain where the focus is, where it rests, is because I didn't see the Minister of Housing and Transport front and center in the discussion. I may be wrong. I may have only seen one or two or a portion of a press statement or a news segment. But if the focus is on unhoused and homeless citizens, then surely the minister responsible for housing would be there. But I'm glad to see whether it's the primary focus or a byproduct of the primary focus, attention being paid to the unhoused, particularly those in Grand Bahama. It's a shame that this initiative began, well, I hope it began before, but it seems that it began after this cold front. It would have been the coldest temps we'd seen in about 2 years. Because it's the state's obligation to ensure that these people that constitute some of the most vulnerable people in the country, and in particularly in this weather event, had the resources necessary for safe and adequate housing. And so this is all an issue for me, right? So I've been trying to figure out how to have some discussions about the recent local government elections. I realize I don't understand enough about the culture and the procedures around local government and local government election to just start a show. So I'm doing some research and I'm looking for some people. But I was troubled when I saw the chairman of the PLP and the minister responsible for, what that is, foreign affairs, and said the public service. Anyway, Mr. Fred Mitchell in Grand Bahama with one of the winners of one of the local government elections in Grand Bahama. And I was shocked because I thought, now I'm not 100% certain, but I thought I heard somebody say this is a win for the PLP. I thought I heard that. I'm not certain I heard that. But, you know, with the chairman of the PLP and the minister, Ginger Moxie, MP Ginger Moxie and minister, flanking side by side, it's sort of, I can imagine how I heard that. You know, it's sort of easy to mishear things. Why would the PLP be in Grand Bahama celebrating a local government win? Why would candidates be purporting to be a part of the party in this part of the local government process? Why are political parties infiltrating local government? Now, you may not agree with me. You may feel to call in or text in and say, but Ms. Green, are there any provisions in law preventing political parties from supporting candidates in local government? Is there any provision in law preventing candidates and local government representatives announcing or displaying their affiliation to a political party? I'm not sure if there are provisions in law preventing that or not, but there are provisions in common sense preventing that. I want to shout out that young Bohemian creative I saw online. Producer, I don't know if you saw the meme. The person said, look here, I see you ain't turned on your good sense yet. Say, go into your phone, go into settings, right? Look for sense. Hit the comment icon. Restart your phone, you'll be good to go. Yeah, it just makes sense that political parties would not engage in that way in local government process. You see, when I was calling out John Pinder, who was at the time the director of labor, but obviously campaigning for the FNM or for himself to be a part of the FNM slate of candidates, whatever it was, that this lack of adherence to the letter and the spirit of the general orders and the guidelines and policies that govern the civil service could lead to a larger problem, where people no longer hold regard for the rules intended to protect the processes of government. All right, what am I going to do? I'm going to pause, read some of these texts, get to the phone line, and then on top of what we've talked about so far, here are the things to talk about today. We got to talk about the new My Gateway portal to apply for agricultural imports. We got to talk about that. And I want to talk about an aspect of that, because any form of digitization leading to efficiency is good. And good. We're good with that, right? However, we need to ensure that not only are we paying equitable, right, not just equal, but equitable focus or you know, attention to local aspects of agriculture, we have to ensure that that we are applying and using the technology that we have effectively to support our local farmers and agricultural participants. Anyway, let's get to the phone line. Callie, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Dwarf.
Good morning. How are you?
Yes, sir. I'm Steve. I got the issue with the call and talk shows, right?
Yeah.
They don't want to be big with their callers. You know, they like some like they only want callers that's on the ground. Our problem with developing Freeport or any other island is that our governments are about private interest, their self-interest. You know, just like the AFB, the FNM, or it's not the FNM, the UVP, is all about the money grab. You see, that's all they're concerned about, you know. I really want to address that national stadium thing. We have private baseball leagues in this country with 10 teams, right? Mm-hmm. In the East, in the rich communities, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And these people have like 8 fields in each facility, you know, but yet you have inner city program that can get off the ground with one field. You have schools that don't have one field, you know, and then, you know, and that's what that is socialism for the rich. You know, they're going to say that, oh, we got some kids from the inner city, and some baby, and that's garbage. You know, you might have one, two, and, you know, this morning, the guy, he talked about how much money these parents have to send the caretakers to spend the point for their kids, for development and time, and all over the beyond things. Come on now, how does that sound like in the city kids?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Come on, we need to address, you know, and then you talk about housing for people that can't afford it. How we gonna have these things and we help the rich getting socialism and the poor can't get it. And that's it, you know, in the media.
Okay.
The media needs to stop. See, the politicians, the media, let it old, new media, old media. Right?
Uh-huh.
They need to stop selling. See, the politicians need them to carry their message. You understand me?
I got you. Let's just make the note that, the government ain't really... Anyway. I understand the point that you're making, caller.
That's the local government thing you talk about.
Yeah.
Local government in the U.S., that's politics. That's democratic and
other things. No, it's
been usurped. It's toxic. We don't...
I would say that, look here, we have the same systems in the Bahamas relatively that we have in the U.S.
Right.
And those lower levels of politics have been usurped. They've been overwhelmed and consumed by the Republicans and the Democrats. And we're going down the same path that they are going down, but pretending like it's all normal, right? Like, that's how you do it. But that's not how you do it. What the U.S. has done is they've bastardized their system, and they've bastardized democracy.
And until we get representative democracy, representative elections, that's the problem with the U.S. They get that first class of those things, and that's not democracy. You see, and the thing is the difference between the local government and the U.S. is the local government raises their own money. They don't got to depend on the central government for no money. You see, and after general election, automatically the local government's going to be for the government.
Well, look here, Texas. Let me call it. Look here, I got a text here and say, stop agreeing with that guy to the stadium for rich folks. It's the lack of poor kids that will benefit from the stadium.
Opportunities. Because they don't want to debate. That's what call shows. That's what debate. That ain't for no brown nose.
I got you. But listen, what you were saying is that there are the rich people have stadiums.
Right. They don't need nothing for development. It's the poor kids who need the development. And
oh, that's the point.
There will be no development.
Okay, I got
to
go.
Stadium to the majors.
But listen.
That stadium is facilities for those same kids with JBL. And they can monopolize it. That's no training facility.
I got you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So the point the caller is making is that With all the money and the hoopla and the things going up, the question is, are these initiatives being designed to ensure that they can focus on and be accessed by the people who need it most? And do the people who have greater access to it really need it? Why you call it socialism for rich people? I really appreciate the point you made, but look here, man, we can talk about that in another show, because you take me far to the right. Minutes say, look here, we're going left, but today we're going right. I like that. We just can't do it right now. And that's my producer telling me we got to take a break. And we'll get to these texts, and we get back to you callers on the other side of this break. So stay tuned to On the Clock with Aaron Green and Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Girl, Joni just saw me Bala Boy in his phone. What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
She don't want Bala here, you say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what are you doing in Junior phone?
He there cause the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas, so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything but you. I tried it the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call us 3-8-8-4-7-7 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It is Wednesday, the 2nd of February, 2022, and you are on the clock with Aaron Green. And my call, that caller, he made two good points. First of all, we got to get back into debating. We got to debate these things. We got to get into the meat of it, get critical, because don't lose what he was saying. And it is correct. We have a problem where we are dragging the Bahamas into a future that the vast majority of Bahamians won't be able to enjoy. Right? We are providing opportunities, right? Like, it's like a train. Mr. Cox, Lester Cox from Connected on Guardian Radio used to talk about this train. The Bahamas is a train and we need to be moving at the speed of the world. We see there's some people leaving this country and some people are on the cutting edge. They think, you know, they're the movers and the shakers. They want to move this train at a speed that is not sustainable or tenable for the vast majority of people who are supposed to be riding the train. So we have all of these initiatives that we have to. This is what modern countries do, and we have to. We don't want to be backward. And I'm a global citizen, and I deserve these opportunities. But the people who are required to build those opportunities or to create the environment in which you can then build those opportunities will have no opportunity to take advantage or participate. They will have no access to the things that you are building. And that, quite frankly, is unfair. I think about it when we talk about it, he raised the point about socialism for the rich and how we are investing in sporting facilities. I think about it when I think about agriculture and technology and some of the new agricultural products that are on stream, and they look gorgeous, and dare say, quote unquote, they even look a little sexy, you know, they look cutting edge and high tech. But the question is, will the vast majority of Bahamians be able to access, participate in, or benefit from these projects that are using state resources to make them viable? And I mean all kinds of resources, even if it's the handsome face and the articulate voice of our prime minister. Because it's our prime minister. And then back before I get to these texts, a point about the Grand Bahama discussion. You could imagine going to a Grammy Sunday dinner and she'd take up a plate and you look at the plate and you take something off the plate and you tell her, I come to dinner and I come to enjoy the dinner, but I don't want this on the plate. You could imagine you fix your Georgie bundle to come to the Bahamas to ask us if you could invest in our country, to ask us if you could invest in our country, and you open up your mouth and you say, but yes, but I don't want anything to do with that island right there. Oh, man. Anyway, let's get to these texts. First text says, people think that curse Pinlin put on Grand Bahama. What? Pinlin put a curse on Grand Bahama? It's a joke. There's power in the tongue. The Bible tells us someone powerful needs to break that curse. Text, great show. As usual, why we don't find Germany or Russia billionaires to invest in Grand Bahama. I think the government looking in the wrong area for investment. They need to think out the box. That's right. What they need to do is they need to invest in 1 billion cannabis and hemp trees and plant them in Grand Bahama. Part of it is environmental. So hemp trees hopefully can help clean up the oil and pollutants and toxins in the earth that we can't seem to compel our industrialized partners to take responsibility for. Yeah, that stuff. Maybe we could pull it out. And I think the hemp industry may help us do it. The focus ain't even on Grand Bahamas. They was treated like a stepchild for over 30 years ago. Stepchild treatment ain't nothing good about that. No government seriously even thinking about Grand Bahama. All government talk about looking at economics in Grand Bahama because it sounds good. Another text, morning Aaron, if they can't pay the people who clean up the roads and park in 5 months, people who have legitimate contracts not paid yet, it's disgraceful. They know the ones who got contracts during and minutes before election. Deal with them, but pay the other legitimate people. This is inhumane. No, man. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to get a lawyer. If you have not been paid by the government yet, what you're going to do is you're going to get a lawyer. You're going to get a lawyer. And we're going to ask them what's the best course of action to start moving forward. Right? So you're talking about that, these contracts. Look here, let me tell you a quick story. Yesterday I was on the road leaving the station, and I passed this road site. Like, they're taking up the road somewhere. Part road, part parking lot. And I noticed that the man that was on this work site had on proper construction work boots. And the women who were on the site had on Crocs and slippers. So as we approach the man in the car, I put down the window and I say, hey, king man, boss man, how you doing? Look here, when you get a chance, show your women colleagues where to go find the proper steel toe boots you have on, man. Don't let them be out here like this. And so one of the women got very upset that I was talking to them. She was very upset. I mean, just mad. You know, mad I wasn't paying, minding my own business. And she went around me. I can't hear if she cussed me. I can't hear if she used curse words, but her mouth looked like she used curse words, right? And here I am telling the guy that you, boss man, should make sure these women are properly attired and outfitted when they come on the job. The women tell me, go about my business. And so I turned my head and I said to her, miss, if you was wearing steel toe boots, I wouldn't mash your corn, you know. Right? Anyway, she didn't find that funny either. She was not impressed. I was impressed, though. What I was impressed with was, by the way, the other people acknowledged that there was something wrong and perhaps they should be wearing the proper footwear. Because you know why? We're paying out too much money for bad work. We're paying out too much money for work that's not being done properly. And I ain't even talking about the contractors, I'm talking about the politicians, but even the contractors, right? And so I made the point online that, look, ultimately, I still gonna have to pay for it, right? If that woman is injured on the job, one way or the other, it's coming out of taxpayer money. If they do a substandard job because they didn't have the proper equipment to wear, the road is going to break up soon, and we have to pay for it to fix again. Or worse yet, I can pay for it with my tire, my axle, the quality of my car. So think about that story with the baseball stadium. Think about how people are calling for the swim complex to be given attention for major repairs. And the leader of the opposition is in the front of the paper talking about that it's the PLP's fault that the stadium looks like that. This time, we can't convince contractors that they have to wear the standardized safety equipment on the people's job. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Caller, you on the clock.
On the clock, and the clock is running.
You're absolutely right. My apologies. And good morning.
You have a doctorate degree that no one knows about.
Listen, but it's only in the bush.
In the bush.
Thank you so much.
I want to share 2 points with you.
Yes, sir.
When you listen to these campaigns going on, they only are campaigning to win, not to govern.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have no plan of governing. And we are so, I don't know what we are, I can't find that word. It hasn't been invented yet. Just go through this revolving door of persons who only want to win. And if you listen to the chairmen, that's all they're talking about, winning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give you a history story for you to ponder. In 1977, whoever was prime minister at that time opened up the hobby horse racetrack for what he called the prime minister's cup race.
Okay.
I was there. And certain land developer was there. And I heard him whisper to him, because they were watching the jockeys on the horse, and he said, you know, I have an idea. And this is true. The same way the jockey sits on the horse and the horse hardly feels his weight, makes him go further and faster, that's the way we have to ride the Bahamian people. That came from a prime minister who was leading this country. Okay, ponder that for a minute.
Woo! Yes, sir. Yes, sir, thank you. Thank you very much. Producer, let's go to another call. Calling you on the clock.
Okay, good morning.
Good morning, Sparky. How you doing?
Good morning, ma'am. Okay, guys. Two things. Let me give me a moment here. Before Christmas, I had mentioned to you that you pass Meadow Street or Nassau Street headed north up Nassau Street.
Mm-hmm.
You know the entrance to where the Catholic convent is?
Mm-hmm.
The Martin's Convent away, Benedictine nuns or something.
Yes.
There's a palm branch that fell off a big tall palm tree that's hanging across in the middle of the road on a lamppost wire.
Uh-huh.
That has been there hanging there from before Christmas. There's one doing the same thing down by the college of the University of the Bahamas, across the road by the bookstore. Or one of those palms doing the same thing. All of them been hanging there before Christmas, and I've asked on all these talk shows if nobody sees it. It's there now. I say some bucket truck from BC, BPL, Botelco, or Rev, or some bucket truck could slow down one day and tell the fella, get the bucket and move the limb. It's been hanging there on electrical wire, on a cable wire, something. Everybody in the world can see it. Politicians passing every day up and down that whole street. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep. Every day.
If I be that nasty that nobody can stop and just take the thing off the wire. And other than that, what you started off saying in regard to our country and how it's being run, I keep saying I am 70 years old, and it seems that it is impossible for us to afford to live in our own country, but people can come from all over the world, get the best price. property, beachfront properties, shipping loads, everything. They can come over and live in our country, and I was born here. I got out of the port to get my garbage collected. I live in my own country. I'm supposed to buy a piece of property in our country, but they can build little shanty towns for us and say they're doing a
government. Vance Parkey, look here. First of all, this is still the sweetest little plantation on the planet. Like, you're absolutely correct. Still the sweetest little plantation on the planet. But you could imagine that?
For the planet, they can come out and next thing you know, the fellas living on beachfront property by the kids, showing the children to the high school, and we can't hardly get to the government school.
Okay, Chris Markey, I gotta go. Okay, if I wasn't so proud to be a Bahamian, I'd have tried smuggling myself into the Bahamas as a foreigner, you know. Well, I do love being a Bahamian. I do love being a Bahamian to try and live a better life in the Bahamas by pretending to be a foreigner. I see some people doing it though, and it's working out for them. But we're not dissing foreigners today because, you know, yesterday began Black History Month. Now, we like to think of Black History Month as only like a African-American Black History Month, but Africans in the diaspora have expanded that to Africans, to Black History Month of the Americas, not just of the U.S., United States of America. And so we say good morning to our brothers and sisters all throughout the diaspora in the Americas. Boy, that's my producer telling us it's time to go to another break. And when we get back from the break, we're going to go through these texts and we're going to talk about agriculture and local incentives and support. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Relationship banking. We take pride in getting to know our clients. You have access to knowledgeable, approachable ambassadors and financial coaches so that we can recommend the best product for you. At Fidelity, we care about you. From your financial health to your physical health, we can relate to you because we're just like you. Come and start your relationship banking experience with us today. Visit us online at fidelitygroup.com. Visit any of our branches in Nassau or Grand Bahama, or phone 356-7764 in Nassau, or 352-6676 for Freeport.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On The Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On The Clock of Aaron Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
Good morning and welcome back to On The Clock with Aaron Green on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I've got a slew of texts here, so let me just say this. It was brought to my attention by a farmer, an agriculture person, right? That my gateway has added a new service to their online portal, allowing vendors and individuals to apply for permits for agricultural imports, like dairy and produce and things like that. And the local farmer person in the agriculture industry was very concerned that sufficient attention or equitable, right, equal attention or sufficient attention was not being paid to the local industry, and in particular, the concern that this attempt to facilitate or to, you know, make easier the importation of agricultural goods is a negative or disadvantage, right? It works as a barrier or an obstacle to the local agriculture market, right? So like I said earlier, any type of digitization leading to efficiency is good. Now, I explained to the gentleman, not even explain, right? Because it ain't like a lesson. I was just sharing with him that, look, these people are working in silos, and the people working on the My Gateway portal are probably not in any way connected with agriculture, and they don't have the sort of the proper or effective sort of cross-pollination mechanisms to ensure that when finance is working on agricultural issues, they are totally immersed and understand all of the contexts that arise, the culture surrounding all of the issues they're dealing with. So their strategies are not just good for them in finance, but are good for the entire agricultural space, right? But there's another point to be made. Are individuals, companies, sectors in the agricultural space at capacity? Are you at the level required to take advantage of the technology that the government is trying to use? Because look here, if we have a My Gateway portal, I know My Gateway is for licensing and things like that, but surely the team responsible for that can get BAIC up and running to provide similar online services for people in the local agriculture market, because surely Bahamas Agricultural and Industrial Corporation should also be about the job of industrializing local agriculture and bringing its participants into that space where they could use it. But please, dear farmers, stakeholders in agriculture, please remember this. This is a merchant culture. This is a merchant economy. This is a merchant history. You are competing with decades and decades and generations of economic culture that you've got to disrupt. And you're working with a government that finds it easier to support initiatives that require low input from them and maximize the amount of taxes that they can take out of the system. But we want the government to provide maximum input with minimal removal of resources for taxes, you see? So the government's working with a model that's good for them. All right, let's get to these texts. What's disgusting? Items in the news. National examinations unsure and awaiting deliberation and consideration of Ministry of Health. I noticed testing and evaluation office seem closed for protracted period. Examiners were paid. Where are the exams? Parents have also paid examination fees. All our governments seem ad hoc and disorganized. Political party, oh, another text. Political parties infiltrate school and the public service too, not just local government. But I noticed that, I mean, Juan talked about it last week or the week before last, how it seems as if the young people, the children, are the least of our priorities in this whole entire pandemic. I've been saying similar things as well, but it seems as if the students themselves are the least of the priorities in the Ministry of Education's attempt to get school open again. And I'm not knocking all teachers, because God knows teachers are also working under horrible conditions and an environment in a political culture where government would like to pit teachers against parents and students versus acknowledging and taking responsibility for their dereliction of duty over the decades for the state of education in this country, and allowing the country that guaranteed universal access to education, the thing that I am proud of most, to devolve to a state where apartheid education systems have taken root. That's right. You've got regular, ordinary people who are able to take advantage of universal access to education saying things like, well, if you can't afford to send your children to the good school, well, that's on you. There was a time when nobody could afford to send their children to the good school. That's why it was free. But for a few decades, You would relegate children to this existence in the world that you will no longer occupy in a couple more decades? How sweet. How bougie. Anyway, I promise I ain't gonna never use the word bougie on the radio no more. How unacceptable and intolerable. Another text, Aaron, do you honestly think you can take politics out of local government? We are a two-party nation. I wish we could, but there is no way to remove that. Of course there is a way to remove it. The PLP and the FNM didn't exist forever, and they will not exist forever. Yeah, Ms. Green, I agree, because a packing house in Cat Island wants to pay Big Man 53 cents a pound for real tomatoes. I'll feed my tomatoes to the hogs before accepting that. They think we as Farmer Brown, these jokers with no respect for farmers. Boy, there's a lot of work we got to do. We need an agriculture czar. That's what we need. Morning, the PLP went to Dubai looking for investment, not the other way around. As an investor, I'm not going to invest to my detriment. It's a new day. It's a good thing the government isn't a private citizen. Because you are correct. You have the right to decide where you put your money. The government, on the other hand, doesn't have the right to decide where they can put the money. The Constitution tells them what they are obligated to do, and their integrity and their conscience should tell them the rest. Text here just before we go, producer Aaron, you FNMs are sickening. You guys always blaming the PLP for everything. When the FNM was in power, you still asked what their plan, but never questioned your FNM. Sad. Aaron, stop agreeing with that guy to the stadium for rich folks. It's the poor, black and poor folks that will benefit from the stadium career opportunities. Tell the truth. Boy, 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 look at the laughs that we could have if you think that I'm an FNM. I am just upset that Minutes called the election early, so I did not have enough time to tell the FNM again what I told them in 2016 and 2017 leading up to the general election. But I could sum it up in several short words. I told you so. But as the host of the show, it's not my job to beat up on people. Like my good friend David Williams and my good friend Troy Clark from the Lead Institute would say, we're about de-escalating situations and not escalating them. I don't need to beat these Britons up. Their own conscience and lack of integrity will beat them up and cause them not to sleep well at night until they do right by the Bahamian people. Anyway, there's lots to talk about. It's a shame we couldn't get to them all. But as I close out this show, I thank my producer for not cutting me off totally yet. Remember, we have entered the eighth year of the International Decade for People of African Descent. And on that note, and a totally separate note, Scotiabank, you are really trying to increase your ATM fees? You're going to need to have AC and television and snacks if you're thinking about doing that. Don't tell me you're increasing your ATM fees because you put them chairs out in front of the East Bay branch for people to sit in. Anyway, you guys, it's been a pleasure. On the Clock Turns 1 year old, you're having a great day today. See you tomorrow for Culture Thursday with Ricardo Williams, my special guest for the day. Stay tuned. Levon Millen is up next with Unleashed. Have a great day, Bahamas.